and Monitor staff writer Stephen Humphreys. Aliens and UFOs have been making the news of late. In February, President Donald Trump directed federal agencies to release information about UFOs because, as he put it, of the tremendous interest shown. It remains to be seen what, if anything, that information will reveal about whether we are alone in the universe. But I recently wrote a story about how humankind has been pondering that question. Since the late 1880s, science fiction has been shaping and reflecting how we imagine what first contact might look like. You can find a link to my story in our show notes. Depictions of aliens tend to tilt more to fear-inducing threats, like the one requiring a knockout punch by Will Smith in Independence Day, than to cuddly interactions with imagined visitors like the Reese's Pieces-loving extraterrestrial in E.T.
E.T. Phone home.
That's why I got excited about Project Hail Mary, the Andy Weir novel that has sold millions of copies and sparked a lot of discussion. The story of an astronaut who meets an alien and befriends it, it's now a big-screen blockbuster starring Ryan Gosling. I called Mr. Weir to ask what inspired him to write such a hopeful story. During my reporting, I also talked to two authors of nonfiction, science-based books about what contact with alien life might look like. We're going to hear from them too. These are interview excerpts edited for length and clarity. The bigger question I explored in my conversations was this: if we discover alien life, how might that change how humankind views itself? The first call I made for my story was to Michael Wall, a writer for Space.com. Several years ago, he wrote a book titled Out There, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel. He set out to write about what's potentially out there. At the outset of our conversation, Mr. Wall contextualized what such a finding would mean to humankind.
It would be the biggest discovery of all time. And like, I don't think it would usher in a revolution, but it would change how a lot of people think about themselves and our species and our place in the universe.
While the movies tend to imagine that our discovery of alien life might be little gray beings walking down the ramp of a flying saucer, Mr. Wall says that the reality might be quite different and, well, far less dramatic. He wondered whether it would be more likely that we discover alien life not in the form of gray beings, but in something much smaller, microbes. Perhaps on Enceladus, which is one of Saturn's moons, or Europa, which is one of Jupiter's moons.
I also don't think it's very threatening for us to find microbial life. Yeah, if it's intelligent life, I think that's something else. I think it would be more shocking and more, it would instigate more soul searching. If we find a sign of intelligent life in the universe, I think people would be intimidated. They would be taken aback if we find something like a signal from a distant star or something. That's still pretty abstract and pretty far away. Mm-hmm. For something to be truly revolutionary, it would have to be like a visitation or something like that. Like something lands somewhere and it's obviously not of this earth, because now there is something here and it could be an actual threat because it's right here. And that's obviously like the least likely kind of discovery scenario. There's a good chance we'll probably find evidence of past life on Mars or something, or Enceladus or Europa. It's very possible that we'll find that within the next like 20 years or so. And so I think that the groundwork's already being laid for that kind of, in the scientific community anyway.
In the novel Project Hail Mary, the first discovery of alien life is in fact a microscopic organism. Like in his previous bestseller, The Martian, which was adapted into a movie starring Matt Damon, Weir tries to emphasize the science in science fiction. In Project Hail Mary, for instance, the story begins on Earth when Ryland Grace does a lab analysis of a single-celled microbe from space. The discovery of that organism results in Ryland setting out on a mission 11 light years away from Earth, and it's there that Ryland first encounters an alien spaceship. When Ryland's ship docks with the other spacecraft, he meets an intelligent being from the planet Erid. He nicknames it Rocky. Mr. Weir told me about how he imagined what a life form might plausibly look like if it came from a planet with a high-pressure atmosphere that's mostly ammonia.
I am very trope-averse. When something rubs me the wrong way, it really rubs me the wrong way. Now, I don't mind a good space opera story, Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who. Doctor Who is, in fact, my favorite science fiction property. So things don't have to be like super scientifically accurate for me to enjoy them. They have to be internally consistent. But other than that, I'm willing to just let it go. But my approach to science fiction writing is I try to be very as scientifically accurate as possible. And there is no way on earth that an intelligent alien species or any alien species would just look like a human with some forehead prosthetics and be completely comfortable in our, you know, gravity, atmosphere, radiation levels, you know, atmospheric composition, everything. So I wanted my alien to be as alien as possible. Because look at Earth. Even on Earth, even within our own biosphere, we have life forms that have completely incompatible environments. If you swap the locations of a shark and a camel, they're both going to die, right? Yeah. So I wanted this to be as alien as possible.
In a lot of science fiction, alien life forms are hostile invaders or deadly creatures such as those of the alien horror movie series, close encounters of the far too close for comfort kind. What I loved about Project Hail Mary was that Rocky is perhaps the most lovable alien since Steven Spielberg's E.T. Ryland and Rocky have nothing in common, no common cultural basis, language, biology, yet they form a friendship and work together to solve a common problem. I asked Mr. Weir about how he developed that idea of bridging seemingly insurmountable divides.
They are both there to save literally their entire species. They're like, let's work together, obviously. I mean, it seems pretty obvious. And then as for Rocky, as for their kind of relationship, I sat down when I was making my alien species and I said, okay, so we have an intelligent life form. What do you need to have? What qualities does an intelligent life form need to have, or any life form need to have, to ultimately be able to make a spacecraft and leave their planet? And I said, well, that requires a level of technological understanding that requires a society. You have to have a civilization. You can't just have like one really smart creature build. You need a civilization. And to do that, you need to have language so you can convey information from one to another. And you need to have tribalism. You need to have the concept of we are all going to work together for the benefit of all of us. You need to have a pack instinct. Like humans do. You need to have language. And a pack instinct means you need to have compassion. It means I care what happens to that guy. Even if something bad is happening to that guy that doesn't affect me, I care about that. And that becomes an evolved, like, selected for trait, because if everybody in your society has that, then when something happens to me, they all come and help me. And so I decided that compassion comes from empathy. I find it hard to believe you could have one without the other. So empathy and compassion also have to exist because they're a pack species. So now I know they're going to have language, empathy, and compassion. That's like, if you have those three things, you have all the ingredients you need for friendship.
Science fiction stories about aliens are often just as much about humankind. I asked Mr. Weir about how Project Hail Mary portrays humans.
Well, I'm unabashedly optimistic. I really have a very high opinion of humanity. I always have. I think we're pretty cool. It's easy to get depressed and mired in the negative when you're looking at the news, but I remind everybody the news is news because it's newsworthy. People being bad to each other is newsworthy because it's rare. People are usually good to each other. But that doesn't make the news. And so like if, you know, somebody slips on the street corner and breaks their leg and like seven complete strangers come around, make sure he's safe, try to get him comfortable, bring him bottled water. Somebody calls an ambulance. Somebody says, hey, you have any relatives I can call? Anybody help you out? Like that doesn't make the news because it's so overwhelmingly normal that it's just expected. It makes the news if people don't help them.
That concept of recognizing universal human qualities took on a whole new meaning to me in Project Hail Mary. Even though Rocky is an alien to Ryland, as much as Ryland is an alien to Rocky, they have in common what one might call a shared humanity. When we talk about humanity, it's a matter of qualities rather than biology. I shared that observation with Mr. Weir. Here's how he responded.
I'll leave it to theologians to discuss what, you know, constitutes a soul. But I mean, to my untrained, non-theological, agnostic viewpoint, if you're an entity that's capable of thought, language, compassion, empathy, and an understanding of right and wrong, a concept of morality that you understand and can choose between, that sure seems like a soul, right? It's a little bit outside of this former computer programmer's knowledge base.
Others have certainly pondered the question of what it would mean to us humans if we discovered other beings with souls. I called Avi Loeb, an astronomer at Harvard University. He's the author of a book titled extraterrestrial, the first sign of intelligent life beyond Earth. Dr. Loeb's name is also one you might have heard mentioned a fair bit in recent months on social media. He's the scientist who was making some pretty bold speculations about an interstellar object called 3I Atlas that did a flyby of Earth earlier this year. Because of the object's trajectory and various properties, he held out the possibility that it could be an alien spacecraft. The International Astronomical Union, the world's largest professional body for astronomers, counters that, quote, if 3I Atlas were artificial, we would have detected it, end quote. The interest that the media and the public showed in 3I Atlas led Dr. Loeb to make the following observation.
You know, are we alone is the most romantic question in science. If we find a partner among the stars, it will provide us with an emotional connection to the universe. If you look at the textbooks right now, and I wrote some of them about the universe, it appears as a lonely and cold place. You know, the entities we discuss in the universe are made of matter, radiation, but we don't have a connection to them, an emotional connection. However, if we do find the siblings in the Milky Way galaxy, some of them may be more accomplished than we are. We will derive inspiration from their accomplishments. We will connect to them. If they visit our backyard, we might want to visit their backyard.
Some have wondered, if there is intelligent life elsewhere in the universe, what would be the theological impact? Steven Spielberg's upcoming movie, Disclosure Day, about the first contact between aliens and humans, explores that question through a supporting character who is a nun. Mr. Loeb had thoughts on that theological question, too.
It will be a completely different perspective about our place in the universe, and even have an impact on religious beliefs, because it will appear as if God had more than one child, so to speak. I don't see any problem with that, because if you believe in God being capable of creating the universe, definitely creating other, you know, siblings in our family would make a lot of sense.
Science fiction is a great vehicle to mull through these sorts of questions and reflect on our own qualities and values. But is there life actually out there in space? I'll leave you with something that Jodie Foster's character, a scientist, said in the 1997 science fiction movie Contact.
I'll tell you one thing about the universe, though. The universe is a pretty big place. It's bigger than anything anyone has ever dreamed of before. So if it's just us, seems like an awful waste of space. Right?
This special episode of Why We Wrote This, featuring my interviews with Michael Wall, Andy Weir, and Avi Loeb, was produced by Mackenzie Farkas for the Christian Science Monitor. You can find the story that I wrote using these interviews and others in our show notes. Our sound engineers were Tim Malone and Alyssa Britton. Original music by Noel Flatt. Copyright 2026.